Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and yes, we're going to get into the flow of the season today. We're going to be talking about a Christmas story that really is a lot of fun, and it has just got so many interesting twists and turns in it. My guest today is Janet Martin, and we're going to be talking about her very, very interesting book, The Christmas Swap. Janet, you're in Washington, D.C., sitting in an automobile with your cell phone to your ear, and it's pouring rain. I'm glad
you got it,
and I don't have it. I'm in the Pacific Northwest. We get plenty of rain.
I know. Well, you're lucky tonight because it's just pouring. But anyway, it's good to be here, metaphorically speaking, with you out in the Pacific Northwest.
Well, thank you very much. That's the miracle of radio. We can be anywhere. We could even be in outer space, and we'd still be able to do the show as long as everything comes together. Janet, how long have you been involved with writing? Let me give my audience a little background on you. You have been an award-winning television producer, a reporter. You've written for both newspapers and magazines. You've taught college. You've been involved as a media relations director. Why did you decide that you wanted to put together this Christmas story?
Well, I think Christmas has sort of a special feeling to the season. You sort of hunker down and the weather gets cold. And, you know, it's a time for reflection by the fire and so forth. And in so far as writing this story, it sort of appeared as a scene to me at the time, and I just began to write it down. But I've done a lot of writing, and I thought at this phase, having done all the teaching and reporting that I've done, that books would be a way to go. So this is my first full-length fiction, but I've done fictional articles for magazines, you know, national magazines, so... This is the first, but it was sort of the fullness of time. I decided I'd written for everything else pretty much, so even ad copy, so time for books.
Time for a book. Now, Christmas is a holiday that's been around for a good deal of time, and I was fascinated with how this book was illustrated because it's exquisite. It looks like pencil illustration. Or similar to pen and ink, but it's so delicately done. Who is your artist that put together the illustrations?
He is a backwoods guy that raises dogs, carves bears, foxes, dogs out of wood. He lives in the backwoods of Virginia. He's building his own home, very little money, wears suspenders, and he has the name of Robert E. Lee Gilday. And he is a very, very Virginia fellow, and he just happens to be a backwoods genius, an artist, really, really talented that way. But he refuses to advertise. He refuses to toot his own horn. He just does beautiful work. And I bought one of his dogs, and then he read my book, and he said, I can do that.
So that's who he is.
Yeah.
Well, it's so much fun to find out about what goes behind, because his sensitivity in his drawing, even though it's almost like an artist's draft of an idea, having published an illustrated children's book, I know what it's like when artists will say, well, this is my concept. Is this what you like? And that's what it reminds me of, is the artist's draft. But it is so warm and so captivating visually that I'm sort of sad to hear that he's staying in the backwoods there. Of course, with a name like Robert E. Lee, maybe you want to. I don't know.
Well,
but he
I
had
tell
a good reputation.
Yes, he did. But I guess I'm misrepresenting him a little bit, because Rita Mae Brown is the best-selling author who puts out a book almost every year, and she lives in the Central Virginia area. She's a horsewoman and writes through the eyes of her cat. And she uses him in all of her books. Mm-hmm. So he is one of those kind of quiet people that you see his work, you don't really know about him, but he's just a beautiful artist, and he's done all of her books. So he's known if you know how to get hold of him.
Mm-hmm. Well, he is just exquisite in his rendering.
Yes.
I just think he did a wonderful job for you. Now, I have to ask you a question. These characters
yes.
that you have in this book, did you base them on real people, couples that you knew?
They're amalgams. They're sort of based on people, but I didn't hesitate to borrow any information or description or hair color or face shape from anybody I wanted to. I just put them all together.
Yeah, that's the writer's license. I really like it.
Yeah.
Now, what I want my audience to know is, regarding the Christmas Swamp, she has also integrated a legend of a white fawn into the book. And before we start to talk about this, is the legend of the white fawn drawn from actual Indian legend?
Yes, it is. We had a white fawn, pure albino, very rare. Even his little dots were white. Came onto our farmland, and it was so magical to see this creature come out of the mist. We have mist in Virginia in the hills, and my daughter was expecting her first baby, and she just felt it was just like a sign, a miracle. This creature coming out of this pale evening at twilight. And I looked up fawns, white deer, and so forth. It does come from Indian legend, where the white deer was very valued, and it took a very brave Indian to kill it, of course. And the reason they were so valued was because the Indian maidens liked the white buckskin for their wedding dresses.
Mm-hmm.
So it does come. On one hand, it's a shame to kill them because they're so beautiful and ethereal and have this presence about them. On the other hand, some people say that because they're albinos and they're often crippled, that they're really freaks of nature and you don't want them to breed. So I sort of let the villain have that attitude and in the book, and then took the Indian maiden lore for those people who felt a sense of magic coming to the community with the sightings of this deer.
Mm-hmm. And it does. It creates a magic within your story that is very intriguing, and one that sort of carries through every once in a while. It's not the main focus of the story, but you have used it as a tantalizing tidbit that pops up every once in a while. And it creates a mystical kind of an environment that the characters go around, even though it's not their primary focus. It's there just very delicately in the background. So it really is in a very intriguing part of your story. Now, you've got your characters. You've got Frank and Jan. Let's talk about them for a minute. Frank and Jan are a couple that, well, they're sort of interesting. They have certain...
they're sort of wacky.
Okay, you said it, I did it. They're wacky. All right. So we got two of many characters here. We actually have three couples, and Frank and Jan are the first couple. So tell us a bit about them and how they came together.
Well, I took a bit of poetic license with the names, and that was primarily to keep them straight in my own head. So Jan and Frank Midland, as their name suggests, are middle-range people, middle-income people. He's a professor. Professors don't make a whole lot of money in college, and she's trying to figure out who she wants to be. She's done everything else in her lifetime, including raising twin sons, and now she's at that stage in life where she's feeling unfulfilled. Her husband doesn't understand her, and my God, he's gotten boring, but she's the second husband, and she thought he was rather dashing at the time she met him. So they're in that phase. And then they meet kind of with two other males that are couples. One of them is the Laymans, and the Laymans are laymen. They are a young couple that are a little better than poverty, but struggling.
And, is that Larry and Lucy?
That's Larry and Lucy, yeah.
Yes.
And then they are Urbanes, pardon the use of the Urbanes are very posh, very rich, very educated and cultured. So when these people swap lives on a dare, it is a step into the different dimensions of living for each of them.
Now, Bill's wife, who's the urbanite, now Bill's pretty okay financially. I mean, he's got, in the eyes of some people in town, more money than God, but that, of course, that's not quite true.
Yeah.
But
megabucks.
mega bucks. So here you've got these three different financial tiers, which is fun to hear you listen to the description. What's Bill's wife's name?
Francine.
Francine, yes. And this is a woman that she knows how to put everything together, and it always is going to be very expensive in the process.
You got it, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. So here we've got these three couples. Now, what I like about this story, which is really a lot of fun, is that the three husbands are sitting in a coffee shop, and they decide they're going to be brilliant. Now,
right. What
did you base this level of brilliance on? What experiences have you gone through that you thought this would be pretty good to use in a story?
Well, I think most husbands have been thrown out of the house at one time or another when their wives were busy and just said, you know, get out of here, you know. And that's the case. This story begins, and it's the Friday after Thanksgiving. And she, Jan Midland, is already getting ready for Christmas, as is Francine and then Lucy. And they're all, the husbands are in the way, frankly. So they all get out of the house, and somehow manage to meet at the coffee shop by accident. And, they sit down and they discuss the fact that their wives have really lost perspective. You know, here it is. Just the day after Thanksgiving, they're already thinking of Christmas. I mean, how silly, you know. And so they come up with a dare that would not be taken seriously, except that they back it with a charity. And the wives will ostensibly swap lives for a day, not in a sexual sense, but in a life sense, and find out how the other half lives. So pardon this beeping. I'm on a cell and... people are trying to call, we'll just let them ring off. But in any event, because of that dare, the women accept it, but then they meet in the ice cream parlor and come up with a plot of their own, and therein lies the ruse and the beginning of disaster.
Yeah.
I had a good time.
You really had a good time with it, and so did the characters. I mean, they had, and we also have a gal by the name of Flossie. And she's in this restaurant that they're meeting in. And
yeah, she's a waitress.
Everybody has
a waitress like that in a small town. There's always a Flossie.
Always a Flossie. You can tell that this comes from the East Coast. Because I don't know any Flossies out here on the West Coast.
You don't? You don't?
But anyway, that's okay. That's part of the charm of the story, of the way that you bring these characterizations together. And again, this is sort of a small town. But it's not just the fact that the husbands decide they're going to be so clever with what they do.
Yes.
And you can imagine, for those of you listening, the reactions of each of these women when they hear about this phenomena of brilliance that they're supposed to just be overjoyed to experience, because obviously they don't have empathy with the holiday season feelings. So anyway, you go through so many different things, but right there, and sort of in the beginning, the white fawn is brought up, the one of the people walks into the cafe, and he's not feeling too good. This is another character, but he doesn't feel too good because he shot the mother of the white fawn without realizing that she had this fawn. And so this creature, by all rights of nature, even though it is all white, could very easily starve to death.
Right.
Because its mother was killed.
Yeah, and I've had readers take issue with that, that I killed off Bambi's mother right at the beginning of the book, and they weren't too pleased with that. anyway.
Yes, but that's an intriguing way to open up the book, because it shows the emotional feel. Also, I think it gives a touch of what I would say reality, in that there are people that do go hunting. Deer are abundant in many different areas, and the animals will starve to death if their numbers aren't kept in check. I know. I've seen and heard stories about this up in Alaska, and I've seen and heard stories about it here in the lower 48. So these are parts of reality, and lots of times when we live in the world of illusion, because we have the grocery stores that we go and we find all of our stuff nicely wrapped, we don't have to kill or butcher or, you know, to prepare our meat for whenever we want it. We just go down, it's wrapped in plastic, we bring it home, we don't give it a second thought. So somebody has to do it somewhere. But that's part of what you are bringing out in your book that I think makes this story very, very special. And that is the realization and of the fact that life is, we have things like this that do happen, and they happen, and it's not something that someone goes out deliberately to do, because a good hunter does not want to kill a doe, especially if she has a little one, because he's aware of these things, and they have their own sense of ethics. But this is part of your story. I really liked the women's reaction to this. I just thought that these gals had the wherewithal. They got a little excited about this. Well, you're going to do this for a charity, and everybody gets to exchange places. And I especially love Francine, because she never even gets a chip in her fingernails. And she goes over to Janet. You know, this is the woman that we watch on television, right? In The Lifestyle of the Rich and Famous.
Yeah.
She'll have the red fingernails with the diamonds on the tips and say, oh, darling, you know, we're not going to do this today. She's good, very good at giving directions. But what's interesting is how these women, each of them from a different economic level, shifting into different situations, the husbands
and
have
of course,
no,
Francine, yeah. Francine
yeah, had no idea.
Secret.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
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 I mean, they had no idea. Oh, yes, and there's Francine's secret, and that is so special. But these women really did not have a clue about each other's lives.
That's right.
And or what they may have gone through. They just did not have a clue. And so,
and Francine presents about as shallow as the Everglades. I mean, just a few feet deep. She presents as you've described her, doesn't break a fingernail, but then when she has to go get her hair done in a snowstorm, for heaven's sake, she stumbles into, there again, a situation that provokes and shakes her very soul, because it happened to her.
That's right.
And but I think that this is a theme that I was fascinated with. And that is this, what we present and we are. There again, we've got another call trying to beat, but just ignore it. So Francine is to the world beautiful, you know, probably the cheerleader type that everybody hates because she's gorgeous, she's talented, she's this, she's that. And then yet deep in her heart, there is buried this terrible loss that she and her very wealthy husband cannot replace. And And so what we present and the neighbors we brush shoulders with is often so different from what we really are. And it takes a swap to figure out, you know, what's the reality behind the illusion.
Now, we also have a scoundrel and his wife. Holy Moses, you'd never want his wife as a visitor. You don't even want to invite her to a party, for heaven's sakes. I'm a little bit biased because of your description. And the scoundrel's name is Hiram.
Yes.
And he is a rotten egg. And that's
he's a Danny DeVito. I want to cast Danny DeVito in that role.
Okay, he's a short one. That's what she's trying to tell me.
Yeah.
But really, Danny DeVito would be great in that role. But Hiram,
I think so too.
Maybe a better word would be a first-class schmuck. That's a nice word. That describes him very nicely. Yes, that's a good description. So you've got all of these wonderful characters. What I thought was so fabulous is how the women ended up adapting. And there is, and I'm not going to give away the whole story because there's so many interesting twists and turns in here, including the legend of the white fawn. But one of the issues, because all of these women are at different financial levels, and they are challenged, they have to find a dress in a thrift store. Now get this, you have Francine that could afford to have a dress made out of solid gold if she wanted it. And then you go to the other extreme where you have Jan and you have Lucy. And Lucy, she's lucky if she can put two quarters together for a hot dog. And, you know, you've got Jan in between. And so here these women are then told by their husbands that they can't really buy anything, but they are limited in the amount of money that they can spend in preparation for this huge ball. And the hairdresser rescues them, and there's a piece of magic that I think is just charming. It's absolutely charming. But just imagine for those of you listening, you guys listening, perhaps telling your wife that all she would be able to spend is maybe $100 for shoes, and a gown. We're not talking about a day dress. We're talking about a gown now that she has to look totally spectacularly gorgeous in, and she has to get it through a thrift store. Now, how much do you think that would endear you guys if you said that to your lovely lady? I don't think it would endear me very much. I just don't think it would work. However, it does work. And you do such a marvelous job, Janet, of putting this together. And the rescuer that ends up creating these phenomenal results. And the gals really pulled the wool over the guy's eyes. In fact, they were deeply regretting they had even started this. Because the one that got Francine in his house said, oh, what have I gotten into? She doesn't do anything. She doesn't wash dishes. She doesn't do any of that nonsense. But then Jan is very skilled in certain ways, and Lucy is very skilled in certain ways, and so they manage to pull this thing off, and they're determined. They are determined that these guys are going to pay dearly for this fiasco that they have.
You're right.
Oh, boy. Yes.
Revenge is sweet.
Oh, yes, it is, especially when they don't know that everybody's in cahoots. Here are these three dudes that think that they are the all-wise one and the real smart ones. Boy, were they in for a super, super surprise. But the characters, even, I'll tell you this much about Hiram, the schmuck, he gets it in the end. Yes. He gets it, but I can't tell you how he gets it because that would spoil the whole story. So, the book, The Christmas Swap, Janet A. Martin is my guest. This is absolutely a delight. It is the type of book that you want to curl up with a hot cup of chocolate, and as you're going through it, you're going to moan out loud saying, oh my gracious, I can't believe someone would do this, tube saying, yoo-hoo, go for it, girls. And you're just going to be right in there with it. So, fellas, if you're looking for something for the lady in your life that would just be entertaining reading, this is a good story, but there's a lot of subtleties, including a mystery about an elderly gentleman that wears a very, very old coat, but he's always chauffeured around in a limousine. I won't tell you any more than that. That's all I'm going to tell you. You're going to have to get the Christmas swap. Now, Janet,
I know this story landed at the White House, its first season, not by me, but a friend of Mrs. Bush sent her the book, and she liked it, and she wrote me a note. And she called it, she said, "What a wonderful holiday read." Mm-hmm. And I thought the chances of my book hitting the White House were out of the ballpark. But just a random friend of Mrs. Bush was at a party, and my book was being sold at the party, and she picked up a copy for herself and for the First Lady. So. Talk about magic.
I agree. And this is a wonderful book. It's timeless in its theme. It's just perfect, like I said, to curl up with a hot cup of coffee or chocolate, and just sit back and relax, because it is fun. It's entertaining. She's got some wonderful, subtle messages in it. There's the legend of the white fawn. There's the mystery of the old man. And you got to find out about Francine. She's really cool. I really like Francine. Janet, what's your website? You've got a website on this book.
Yeah, I do. It's www.thechristmasswap.com. And the book is available. Yeah, and thechristmasswap.com. And it's available through Amazon, and Atlas Books Bookmasters is the distributor. And Barnes & Noble picked it up last year, and you can order it from any independent bookstore or your affiliate, your large retail chain bookstore. Mm-hmm. Or you can write me care of the Christmas Swap, and I'll send you a copy, and I'll sign it if you want me to.
Well, bless your heart. It's been an absolute delight having you as a guest. I hope the rain let up a little bit there in Washington, D.C., and I want to wish you a wonderful holiday season, and thank you for such a fabulous story. I just love all the twists and turns. I don't often do fiction, but this one was really a good read. And to keep up with all the characters, it is a lot of fun. And this is good. This is fun reading. I just like the twisting and turning in the plot and all of the little idiosyncrasies that you managed to toss in, and the legend of the white fawn is just magical. For those of
you're a pretty perceptive reader too.
Well,
thank
you, ma'am. The Christmas Swap, Janet A. Martin. The book is illustrated by a very gifted and talented artist, and his name is Robert E. Lee. And believe me, the artwork is just lovely. Yeah, just lovely. Janet, you have a fabulous day. And I look forward to finding out about your next one. I understand you've got another book that's in the works, and you've got to send me a copy.
I will do it. This one's on the 60s and How Four Lives Go Wrong.
Well, that is really something that I think a lot of people would enjoy. So I look forward to it. Again, The Christmas Swap, thechristmasswap.com. Check it out. It would make a wonderful gift. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756 is our worldwide toll-free number. That's 888-815-9756. Well, it's so hard in a way to believe we are in the preparation for the Christmas holidays. And it just seems as if everything is just whizzing by so very, very quickly. I do want to let you know that tomorrow we are going to be reviewing a film called Infinity by Jay Wiedner, who is the director of this film. And I have felt so good about the movies that have been sent to me because each and every one of them really has presented such an insightful positioning about life, how to live with quality, to create opportunities to think. And this is something that so often is not really conveyed through movies, and I know we go to see movies to be entertained. But this material that I've been getting has a little bit of that, but again, it's also very insightful. So I think you'll enjoy my conversation with Jay Wiedner tomorrow. And also, we're going to be talking on Friday with a lady that I just have a tremendous amount of respect for, as well as appreciation for the publications that she has done. We're going to be talking about two of her books. A new one that's coming out is Moms Go Where Angels Fear to Tread, and also the other one, Where Miracles Happen. Joan Anderson has written inspiring books for a number of years, and they are from people that she's met. They have shared the stories with her, and she's had permission to publish them. And they're very heartwarming. And this time of the year, usually people have such wonderful things to share, and with all of the tough times that so many people are going through, it's always good to remember that there's more to life than just what you spend money on, and that there are experiences that people have that go beyond typical explanation. So we're going to be talking about angels, miracles, all kinds of interesting things on Friday. And the next week, we're starting off with Pearl Harbor Day on Monday. We're going to have two publications we're going to be doing a review on. One is called The Sisters of Valor by Rosalie Turner. Now, Rosalie is writing about the wives of servicemen. And, of course, the announcement has been made that there are going to be more people sent overseas, and there's always families left behind. We have a lot of women soldiers. We also have the men, you know, that are going. And it's always hard on families, the ones that have to sit at home, keep those environments healthy and happy, and take care of the kids if there are any children in the families. There's just so much that goes on that we never hear about. Well, Sisters of Valor addresses some of that. And then Mr. DeChiavi, we are going to be talking with him. He was a World War II soldier. His daughter talked him into writing a book. She had to keep at him for a number of years. It's called The Eternal Soldier, as I've said, and this is his story. This is his legacy that he is going to be leaving. So we're going to be sharing that on Monday. And then on Tuesday, we're going to be talking about what your body is telling you. Why not learn to listen to your body? This is something that is very important. It promotes wellness, and it also makes you aware if you're not doing what you should be doing for yourself, maybe how to make that shift. So we'll be discussing that. And The Wolf at Twilight, Kent
Nurburn is going to be my guest. This is a fascinating book. I think you will enjoy hearing what he has to say about it. And one again, Linda McNabb. This is her story, and it's written in a fictitious format, but it's about a journey of self-discovery that leads her through a lot of interesting circumstances. And then, next Friday, we're going to be talking about a real murder case, a cold case. The book is titled The Passerby. Thomas Ray Crowell is going to be my guest. This is a man who never, ever imagined in his wildest dreams that he would investigate a cold case and actually solve it. So we've got an interesting set of guests coming up, and I invite you to tell your friends. And just remember, all of the shows are done live, but you can listen to them in the archives here at bbsradio.com if you so desire. If you're busy working and you'd like to catch up with things, just know you can do that. I wanted to share a story. My very good friend Mary Ellen, who is a woman, she has an angel newsletter that she puts out frequently. She had put together a book called A Christmas Filled with Miracles, and I participated in that publication. But there are so many delightful stories, and what I want to do during this month is share these stories. She lives in Oregon, and she has just such a wonderful, wonderful way of bringing people together, and people will write her from all over the world telling her how much she is appreciated for the wonderful stories that she shares. And this is a story that Marie Rhodes contributed to the book, Christmas Filled with Miracles. She said, "We live in Live Oak, a very small community in California. When my granddaughter Jessica was 8, she was cold all the time because of a medication that she had to take. She would always wear layers of clothes and wrap herself in blankets. Everyone in her family loved to play in the snow. Jessica did too, but her hands would get very cold and her mittens were not the greatest. For Christmas, she decided she would write Santa and ask him for new mittens so that they would keep her hands nice and warm. In her letter, she told him how much she'd like to stay out in the snow and throw snowballs and build snowmen and play as long as the others did. Her sister, brother, and cousin, all of them, they wrote letters. The other children all wanted big and costly presents. Her mother asked her to put something else in her note to Santa, but little Jessica said, 'No, Mom, having fun in the snow is the thing I want most.' Now, all of these letters were mailed early in December. Christmas Eve morning, a package arrived in the mail for Jessie from Santa Claus. When she opened it, she was absolutely overjoyed with a beautiful warm pair of ski gloves in just her size. She could hardly contain her excitement. And the rest of us were just amazed because none of us had bought the present. Marie, while she was watching all of this, was just very grateful. Tears, she said, poured down my face in gratitude and love. To this day, we have no idea where the gloves came from and who the wonderful Santa Claus was. We tried to get information from the post office, but there was no record of the gift having been sent or received. Nothing. But the sweetness of it and the simplicity of how much happiness can come from something so small will always make this my favorite Christmas memory." Marie says, "Love comes in small packages, and what is given with love, no matter how small, is the greatest gift of all." Stories like this make us aware how there is a magic in life. And a magic in life sometimes occurs when we're least expecting it. When I was up in Victoria, Canada, last week, we had an interesting experience, or I had the experience. I was standing in a line at a grocery store, and the young lady that was waiting on us, we were chit-chatting back and forth. She was just a delightful cashier, and I happened to start talking with the woman that was behind me. I do this frequently in grocery store lines, and we were just chatting about how beautiful the weather was and fun and getting prepared for the holidays. Well, when the cashier came to my items, she asked me if I had one of their cards. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, discount cards. I said, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have a discount card. I'm from the state of Washington. We're up here just for a visit. And she said, okay, that's fine. She then starts asking the woman that is standing behind me, who I find out had lived in the state of Washington in the past. She said, oh, do you happen to have a discount card? And the woman said, yes, I do. And so she pulls it out. And she hands it to the cashier. The cashier said, I'm going to give you a discount. And I said, excuse me, how can you give me a discount? I don't have a card. And she said, oh, we'll use hers, but don't worry about it. She gets points on her card. And the woman said, oh, that's great. So we were given like a 10 to 15% discount on our purchases by a cashier who understood the system so well. The customer that said, please do it because I get points. And we just had a great time just absolutely interacting. It was amazing. Now, someone might say, oh, that is so silly. That's so insignificant. But is it? How many times have you experienced someone in a grocery store thoughtful enough to say, let's give you discounts. These things are on sale, some of them that you've got, and this person will gain from it. And the woman that let us use or used her discount card, she said, oh, this is fabulous. I just love it because the more points I get, the better it is. A cashier that was thinking on her feet, working with strangers from out of the country, and someone behind me in line. All of us coming together, and there was such a harmonic, it was absolutely amazing. So I call that a little miracle. You may say it's an exaggeration, but you never know where your good's going to come from, and you never know how it's going to be given to you. And one of the greatest gifts that comes with the holiday season is the fact that we all have the opportunity to do exactly that. And part of what my gift will be to you is that sometime before Christmas, I'm going to share with you a story that I wrote many years ago, and it's a true story. It's called The Miracle of Eight Pennies. And it's one that I thoroughly enjoy sharing with people because it is true, it is real. And the old adage of what goes around comes around, I firmly believe in. It really does work. Now, we're going to take a break for just a moment. Oh, before we go on break, I want to ask you something. If you have a family recipe that is absolutely phenomenal for the holidays, I'd love to have you send me an email because I'd like to share it with my audience. I'm going to share a couple of my own personal recipes, and they're in previous newsletters. One of them is what I call the stained glass fruitcake, which is absolutely awesome. I don't care if you hate fruitcakes. This is one that you would really enjoy. I have yet to serve it when people who don't like fruitcake say, oh, please, I don't even want to taste it. When they taste it, the flavor is wonderful. And by the way, in my newsletter, I included a recipe for an old English-style fruitcake. And you'll find it on my website. You'll be able to go in there and check if you didn't get an email with my newsletter. Then what I want you to do is go into my website, check it out, because this is a recipe. They have a whole different recipe than what I use. But it's sort of an old-fashioned English recipe that I think you would enjoy. So go into DelphiInternational.com, go tap the button for the newsletter, and find out what we've got up there. And it's something you might want to try this season. But I'm going to share some of my favorite recipes with you, too. In fact, I have got an awesome recipe that I'm going to share with you when we come back from break. So get that pad of paper and pen handy. We'll be right back. Donna Sebo here.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-T-A-P-P teatap.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like for me to give you a reading today. 888-815-9756. I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Before I go into the recipe for the day, let me give you your winter horoscope. Yes, if you're born under the sign of Libra, Scorpio, and Sagittarius, that's what we're going to be covering today. Now, let's talk about you Libras. Yes. You lovable individuals, you. Now, by golly, you're going to find that your sentimentality side is really going to be strong during the winter months. And if you're looking for that special person to cuddle up with and get cozy with, if you're single, well, and even if you're married, you're going to want to make time to have that cuddle time with that special person. But it's as if that is what you are going to want to really give a lot of attention to, is to that special person in your life. And if you're looking for that special person, for those of you under the sign of Libra, don't be in too much of a hurry. Just enjoy those people that you come in contact with, and don't try to make it Mr. or Mrs. Wonderful unless you really give it enough time. You have a tendency to be very impulsive, so just be wise here. Now, what about money? Well, if you've been really working towards a specific objective in your career, your hard work is going to begin to pay off. And it looks like you are going to be really diligent about saving money. You want to not splurge it. You're really wanting to make your dollars go into a savings package that is going to serve you in the way that you want it to and enable you to have that financial independence that you want a lot of. Now, travel, it's great. Start looking at the month of February. That's a great time for you to look for a getaway. And you are going to find that February also is a month when you are going to get recognition. By the way, don't be surprised if you really have to battle dry skin these winter months. So take care. Insulate your skin, your face, so that you don't get those winter burns. For those of you born under the sign of Scorpio, well, there is a new bundle of joy for those of you that have families. It looks like you're going to be expecting a wonderful little person into the space. Family is really going to be important, but also, apparently, you're letting go of a lot of garbage that you've carried through the years. And it's as if you're finally making it okay to relinquish maybe some anxiousness, maybe there's been some anger about someone, but it looks like this winter there's a lot of introspection and you're letting go of what you no longer need to hang on to that doesn't serve you anymore. Also, you're going to find that any holiday travel that you may plan for is going to go along quite nicely.
And there are friends that maybe you've not had a chance to interact with, but it seems like your paths are going to cross, and you are going to do well financially starting in the latter part of January. Money and career, well, the entrepreneur in you is really going to be itching to get going. And if you're wanting to do investments, do your homework. Don't be in a rush. Don't let your cash go too quickly without really thinking through all the particulars that you need to take care of. For those of you under the sign of Sagittarius, well, you have got a wonderful, wonderful winter here. There is a family reunion. There are new projects you're going to be taking on this winter. You and the winter months this year just seem to flow, and it's like magic. Whatever you put your hand to, you are going to prosper with. And also, you're going to find the projects are completed in a timely manner. Now, you may have had a difficult time with finances, and things might be a little lean for you in the coming months. Yet, if you just use good common sense, pay attention to the pennies as well as the dollars, you're going to find that you'll be able to still put some money aside when the end of winter arrives. And I'd say start a travel account, because you really want to do some travel, and it doesn't have to be real exotic, but it's something that you're going to have to plan for, so be sure that you put that savings account for vacations into a very good positioning where those dollars are going to add up, and you will find that you're going to be having a wonderful time when you're ready to do the travel. Also, you are earning recognition. And though you may not hear anybody, slamming some cymbals together going, here it is, ta-da, what you're going to find is that you're going to feel good about the recognition that you do get, especially towards the end of February. So we've got 3 months left on the Zodiac horoscope for winter. We've got the Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. So we'll be covering that before the end of the week. Now, quick like a bunny, I wanted to give you a recipe, and this is real fast. This is an Italian sausage and potato soup. It's now getting crisp and cold. We had ice on the windows of our vehicles this morning. This is the type of thing that's so easy to make, and oh, is it heartwarming and just perfect with freshly baked bread. Now, this is what you're going to need. You need one onion, and you want to chop it. It can be fine, medium, or big chunks, whatever you like. 3 stalks of celery. You want to dice them. You need 3 tablespoons of butter, 1/2 pound of hot Italian sausage, whatever is your favorite brand, 4 cups of chicken stock, and then you need 4 potatoes. Russets are best because of the texture. You want to peel them and chop them up. And then you're going to need 2 cups of cream. And then, of course, a little bit of salt and pepper. And this is how simple this recipe is. You just saute your onion and your celery in your butter until they're nice and soft and translucent. Put your sausage in and brown it. Then you want to drain the fat and return it to the stock pot. Now, maybe some of you wouldn't want to do that. You don't have to. If you want the flavor of the fat, put it in. Otherwise, drain it out. Return all the ingredients to the stock pot. Add your chicken stock and your potatoes. Simmer until the potatoes are tender. When you're ready at the last minute, add your cream. And if you want to be on low fat, add a non-fat or a low-fat cream. And then salt and pepper to taste. You know, you can put this in a crock pot. It will work beautifully. This is Donna Sebo. I'm just so delighted you were able to join me. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a fabulous, fabulous day and evening wherever you are, and we'll be back here, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.